Churches and fellowships cannot be more spiritual than the individuals and families that constitute them. God greatly desires a godly home for. These are words of restoration and instruction in righteousness from Family Tent Ministry. May you be blessed as you listen.
We thank our God again for today. We give him glory. We give him honor. We give him adoration. We appreciate him for all he is and for all that he is to us. We thank him for how we are starting the day today. Let's just have a word of prayer. We are at present joining us online. We are going to take the time to. We are going to resolve. Let's pray and let's go on today. Our Father, we are grateful unto you. Our God is your holy name. To you be glory. To you be honor. To you be praise. To you be adoration. We appreciate you for all you do have. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for life. We thank you for the privilege of knowing you and making you know. We thank you as a fellowship together again. We connect with one another, O Lord, who we are yet to see, our brethren of Islam, our brethren of Islam, Lord God Almighty, the fellowship we call, O Lord, gathering unto you, Lord, we pray. Your spirit will walk within us in the name of Jesus
Christ. Amen.
Lord, we pray that you will meet each and every one of us, Lord, we need your most in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Eternal Father. Speak to our hearts, O God. Teach us your wisdom in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Yeah, we have been looking, we started the topic last week. Be ye holy, for I, the Lord, I am holy. And we took that topic from the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 where verse 10 thereabout where the Bible made reference back to the scripture in the people that we should be holy because he is holy. That 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15. But as he who calls you to be holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. And last week we took the matter from 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 1. We were looking at trying to understand who really we are. Who really we are. What are the tests for us? What is his love for us? What is ours in Christ? How we are not hopeless people? How we can rejoice in the glory of what is to be the glory of Christ? How we can have joy that is inexpressible? How we can also be aware, be settled in our mind that if we be for a while, we may have to go through some kind of trial, some kind of suffering. That was the thing. Then in this we should rejoice, though for a little while, if we be, we may have been grieved by various trials. And we want to move on from where we stopped last week. And then before I do that, I should ask the house if anybody has anything they want to take from what we look at last week. Is anybody in the house want to say something? Anybody in the house want to say something? Okay. Nobody in the house has something to say. So let's go ahead Now, we are looking at the matter of holiness. He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy, for I the Lord am holy." And we were raising a very fundamental issue last week, that
the matter of being holy because the Lord is holy stems from one important foundation that we looked at last week. Understanding that the inheritance of the believer, the reward of the believer, what God prepares for the believer is something that nothing material, nothing physical, nothing in the present state of life can be compared with it. That was our emphasis last week. There is nothing in the present state of life that can be compared with what is prepared for us. And I want to take the matter further today by looking at that. Let's go back to that in First Peter chapter 1. I want to take it from the verse 10 today. From the verse 10. Now, when he said in the verse 8, "Though we did not see him, we believed. And we rejoice with great joy. We rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. It's even the end of your salvation. It's even the end of your faith. The salvation of your soul." Now, it was not talking about the matter of this salvation. Verse 10. He says, "Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that will follow. To them it was revealed that not to them, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into." Things which angels desire to look into. Now, I want you to look at a very, very important thing in this place. Last week, we made emphasis about our inheritance. What are the qualities of our inheritance? Number one, an inheritance that is incorruptible. Number two, cannot be defiled. Number three, does not fade away. Number four, reserved for you. Isn't it? That was the quality of what something had been kept for us. And this thing which has been kept for us is something which we must not for any reason do anything that will make us cross the borderline of compromising anything here for. Now, it was not talking, the Bible did not know about this thing that God reserved for us. I want you to look at the way the Bible puts it. It says, "Of this salvation," this thing that we got, This salvation. He said, the prophets who prophesied, they were wondering what it's all about. And then, we were looking at the suffering of Christ, the glory that will follow, what will come to us by the reason of this salvation. He now says that, what will come to us by the reason of this salvation? What did the Bible say about angels? He said, angels do what? They desire to look into this. Let me read for you in another translation. He says, it is also wonderful that even angels were eagerly watching these things happen. These things that God prepared for us, these things that God reserved for us, it is also wonderful that angels, they were looking. You mean this thing is something this much? Now, what I'm going to say is that the faith, if you really understand what God has prepared in salvation, what God has reserved for us, you will see why it becomes completely impossible for you to leave anything, to live, in any way that will not make you enter into the matter. Now, what I'm going to say is that the matter that came up in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15, when he says, "Be ye holy because I am holy," that matter that came up in 1 Peter 15, I'm going to be to see what built into that matter. What built into that matter is that there's an inheritance for us. That inheritance for us is something that cannot be compared with anything that is here. That inheritance for us is something that angels themselves, it is something so wonderful that angels are looking at us, wow, we need all this for us. This is what God has prepared for men, and ordinarily when you look at it, brethren, let's look at it ordinarily. As creation, were we sons of God or creations of God? At creation, were we sons of God or creations of God? We are creations of God. We are not joint heir. We are not heir of God. We are not to inherit God. I don't know whether you are getting the matter. We are not to inherit God. At creation, we are made in the image of God. But there is nothing like us being called sons and daughters of God. You remember that is one major thing that made the Jews to kill Jesus. Because he called God Father. It is in Jesus that we got a new revelation. That when you pray, say, "Our Father." Nobody dare call God Father. Because when you say God is Father, by implication, that which is born of God is what? That which is born of God is God. And that was the matter that the Jews struggled with Jesus, that, joined with other matters that led to his crucifixion. Now, what I want you to see is that what salvation gave us is not what we wear at creation. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm trying to expand. What the benefit that we entered into by the reason of the suffering of Christ and his resurrection, by the reason of coming into Christ, is something that could never have been asked. Now, the mystery of this thing is this. If somebody initially was privileged to enjoy 100,000, that was the initial privilege that the person was to enjoy. The person in that privilege misbehaved. Are you following me? The person misbehaved. As a result, that 100,000 was something that became what he was not privileged to have again. Now, if eventually you are now to reinstate that person, ordinarily, in reinstating that person, you be expecting that the person, maybe this time, even if you get that 100, it will be after some much plea, is that not? Or the person gets less than it. But what happens, the mystery that angels are looking into is this. Man misbehaves in a particular privilege. By the time Jesus will come to restore him, what he got was no more 100,000. You're getting me something. What he now got is a million naira. Why will you pardon somebody? And in pardoning a rebellious person, in bringing the person, you now bring the person on a higher cadre. You know that word? Satan thought. He did his worst. But his worst gave man a better lot. You get the point I'm making? Now, that is exactly what Peter was making emphasis. That is what he was trying to explain between verse 1 and verse 12. I believe I'll be able to capture that properly now. That is what he was trying to explain. He was trying to explain what came to us. Now, the understanding of what came to us is what you will now take back to where we stop. You know, our first meeting in January, our first meeting this year, the burden for this year, I hope you still remember. I hope you remember the burden for this year, a call to holiness, a call to live as those who have hope, a call to understand our conduct and live correctly. And then we mentioned something the first day. We said the church is where? The church is at the position of the Laodicean church. You remember? That where we are today is the Laodicean church. Now, this verse 12, where we stop, I want us to compare with something in Revelation. Let's go to Revelation. That's Laodicean church, chapter 3, from verse 14. It says, and to the angels of the church of the Laodiceans write, this thing says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. It says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, brethren, And I want you to look very closely into this verse. We'll be addressing the matter of lukewarmness, coldness, later on, as we go on through the year. We're bringing out the matters, because all our topics will be coming around, let us live as those who have hope. Let us be sure to be righteous still, and be holy still. Let avoid the other group. It that is greedy, it that is unjust. There are just two groups. Let's keep maintaining the where we belong. And if we are in the wrong group, let's cross to the right one. That is our focus this year. That's what we want to match with through this year. Now, brethren, I want you to look at this very closely. If a church says, I am rich, I've become wealthy, and have need of nothing, what do you think is happening to this church? If a church says, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing, what do you think is happening to the church? If the church says, I have become wealthy, I am rich, and I have need of nothing, please, what is the state of this church? I have become wealthy, I am rich, and I have need of nothing. What would make a man, a group of people, or a church say this? It must, materially. Yes, pride is setting in. But what I really want is what you first mentioned. It means that, materially speaking, they are comfortable. Is that? They are comfortable. If you say, I have become wealthy, what does that mean? If somebody say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, what does that mean? They have progressed. Is that not? From one state of material condition to a better state of material condition. Now, if the church now says, I have need of nothing, what does that mean? It means they have progressed so much materially that they have become saturated. Yes. You now look everything about you. You remember the way this great businessman of I want to remember his name, that the election was annulled. Abiola, MK Abiola. You know, word grew to a point, and I don't know how to translate that in Yoruba, in English, but said it in Yoruba. He said, I have grown so much in my wealth that Tiagba Noba Wanwe Oma Kusinweni. I don't know how do we translate that in English. I've grown so much in riches that even if a desolation, if a devourer, so devourer enter into the world, it will eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat until it will be full, nothing will affect the world. But of course we know what happened. What I'm only trying to bring out is that it takes somebody who has increased so enormously. You get the point I'm making? Before I am rich, I've become wealthy, and I have need of nothing. But at the same time, God is saying that you do not know that you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, you are naked. What I'm going to make us see, brethren, is where we are coming from. Look at what God said in the verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire that you may be rich. So brethren, as far as God is concerned, where is riches defined from? It means, you see, what are going to make us see is where we are coming from. What Peter was trying to say. It means, brethren, that no matter how much a man is saturated with material wealth, no matter how much you are saturated with material wealth, no matter how much you are saturated with, you know, these earthly riches, as far as God is concerned, a rich person is not defined from that angle. Are you getting the point I'm making? He said, I counsel you to buy from me refined gold refined in fire that you may be rich. So if God wants to make us rich, how does God make us rich? What will be God's counsel for us? What will be his counsel for us? Buy from me what? Gold refined where? In fire. Please, as we look at this, I want us to compare this with Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Are you there? Now, look into the Proverbs chapter 8. See, reading from verse 1. It says, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lifted up her voice? Thank you, Lord. Brethren, wherever you are connecting with us, I just have this all not in my spirit. Can we just pray? Can you just pray? Just a minute or two prayer. Lord, in all, I will not be lacking in wisdom. I will not be lacking in understanding. I will not be lacking in wisdom. I will not come behind in wisdom. I will not come behind in understanding. Lord, as I march through 2023, Lord, in all that we'll be going through this year, as the people of God, Lord, as a church, Lord, I pray for myself. I ask, oh God, I will not be lacking in wisdom. I will not come behind in understanding. I will be at the cutting edge of wisdom. I will be at the cutting edge of understanding. I will be at the cutting edge. The leading edge, that edge of wisdom, that edge of understanding, I will not be behind in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go. He says, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up our voice? She takes a stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. Wisdom cry out, understanding lifts her voice. She takes a stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. I want you, I just want you to look at something very well in that place. Huh? Wisdom cries out, understanding is calling out, is standing at a point, talking from a height, where people ordinarily should hear, and is speaking at where? At the way, where the path does what? Meet. What does that translate to me? At the junctions where it divides. Is that not? Where path meets? It means talking about a junction. We have been talking about two categories of people. Which direction are you turning into? Now, he says, she cries out by the gate, at the entrance of the city, at the entrance of the door. To you, O men, I call. My voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence. And you fool, bring up an understanding heart. So, I hope you have seen the matter. The matter is about what? Having understanding. Is that not? Having understanding. He says, O you simple, understand prudence. And you fool, bring up an understanding heart. Listen. For I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my mouth will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lip. My mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lip. And that's why normally I was telling somebody, I was speaking somewhere, and I told somebody, if you want to know the worth of a man, the worth of a man, you measure it by the sincerity of his tongue. One way to know the worth of a man, one way to know is the sincerity of the tongue. He says, for my mouth speaks truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lip. When a mouth don't speak truth, when wickedness is not an abomination, that is deceit. What means there is deceit? You know the man don't have it. You know the man does not have a word. But that's where I'm going now. We're talking about riches. All the word of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands. That's why we are praying that we may not lack understanding. The way of truth is plain to who? It's plain to those who understand. And right to those who find knowledge. May we find knowledge in Jesus' name. Look at what follows. Receive what? Verse 10. Are you there? Receive what? My instruction. Are not what? Silver. Receive my instruction. And not silver. And knowledge. Rather than what? Choice gold. I'm talking about you being that you are poor. You are wretched. You are blind. Where we are coming from? Are you understanding? Are you understanding where we are coming from now? He says, receive instruction and not silver. So, please listen. If a man has silver, and that life receives instruction, is that life rich or poor? That life is poor. He says, receive instruction and not silver. Knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot be compared with her. All the things you may desire in life cannot be compared with her. I wisdom dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and found wisdom. I am understanding and I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Now look at what he now says in verse 18. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What does he now say? Riches and honor are what? Are with me. So it means there are riches and honor that is different from the first one it was talking about. Are you getting something? He has said, choose me, not silver. He has said, choose me rather than gold. I have more wealth than rubies. Now he's not telling us again that what? He says, riches and honor are with me. So he tells you that in that path of wisdom and understanding, there's another kind of riches, there's another kind of honor. This is the one that is refined with fire. He says, look at what follows. What follows it? Enduring what? Riches and what? And righteousness. So there are riches that endure. There are riches that endure. The point in Revelation, what I'm trying to talk about. Now, the point I am making is this. Please, look at verse 19. My fruit is better than gold. Yes, than fine gold. And my revenue than choice silver. So, that tells you. That tells you that when a man departs from the path of wisdom and understanding, no matter what he accumulates and puts together, all of those things that he puts together, they amount to what? They actually amount to nothing. Because they are not riches that endures. But you know my concern about the church at Laodicea, because that is where we are. We are saying that the Holy Spirit is saying that dispensationally, the church today, is at the point of the Laodicean church. Please, what is that? What is that signaling to us as believers? Please, what is that signaling to us as we go to 2023? What is it signaling to us? It's not signaling to us that let us be on our guard. Let us be vigilant and be alert. We are in a situation today where people are not realizing what they ought to give attention to as against what they are giving attention to. The church said, I have need of nothing. Whereas that church has great need of something. What I'm trying to make you see is that we are at a time today where there is a lot of misconception. We are at a time today where people are placing so much value on what they should place what? Lesser value on. We say that at the time of the Laodicean church, we are at a time where people are also self-deceived. We are at a time where even though wisdom is standing on a high hill and is shouting and is speaking, what is happening? Men are not what? Are not listening. They are not hearing. Men are not listening. Men are not hearing. We are at a time today, and please, you remember when we were talking about in our first meeting this year, I noticed something that, brethren, is there anything, we said we divide and there are several divisions, rich, poor, male, female, education, educated, all those divisions. But we said the fundamental division are those who have and those who are hopeless. Now, what I'm trying to call our attention to, you know, I said we noticed something that day. I said, is there anything wrong in being educated? Is there anything wrong with that? No. Is there anything wrong in being a man or a female? Is there anything wrong in being rich? No. Is there anything wrong? Now, we said something. It's not as if there's anything wrong in those other divisions. Is that not? There's nothing wrong. We even divide up to the point of Nigerian brethren, US brethren. That is the major one going on now. Those that are Kujapa and those that are still here. I was traveling today and was asking about some of my colleagues. It's only that I learned that, you know that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years they have gone. And they are in the UK. I laughed about that. I just laughed about that today. Therefore, you don't even tell me that. What I'm trying to bring up, we're talking about the division. But you know, we noted something. We're looking at those divisions. I noted it down to the time of Noah. When Jesus said, the day of the coming of the Son of Man will be like the days of Noah. They were married and they were given into marriage. They were eating, they were drinking until Noah entered the ark. Is that not? And then the situation came upon them. So people normally make mistakes from that. You know what they will say? They will say that Jesus is against marriage. That's not what he was saying in that place. He was not speaking against marriage. He was only saying that they were preoccupied. Was Noah not a married person? If married people don't enter the ark, then Noah should not have entered. Are you understanding me? If Noah does not have the resources to get materials, in a way, Noah could accumulate materials. He has some level of money. Are you understanding me? So, the point is not about the marriage, it's not about eating and drinking. If you say, okay, if the general is about, if you are speaking against marriage, what about eating and drinking? So we should not eat because we are in the end time. Is that what it means? No, so it's not speaking against eating and drinking. It's not speaking against marrying and giving into marriage. It's not speaking against working or whatever. What we are addressing about the Laodicean church, about the state of the church today, is being preoccupied. What he's saying is that, look, if you are not careful, till Jesus will appear in the sky, till the rapture will take place, you will be so absorbed with accumulating material things at the expense of your returning home. That's what he's trying to say. And what we are saying, as we turn into 2023, is that the Lord is calling our attention about what is occupying you. What is your primary drive in life? What is it that you cannot compromise? Somebody said something. He said, look, anyhow. If somebody said to give me, was it million or billion that he called? I can't remember. If somebody now will give me 100 million, I will do anything for the person. Anything. So forget about it. I mean anything. If I can just get 100 million now, somebody says, any depression on the Lord, I will be. If I want me to walk naked, I will walk naked. Let me put that money in my account. Now, is there anything wrong with 100 million? Is there anything wrong with 100 million? No. I was telling, who was I telling? I said, if you give me now, people 500 million, I'm sure that within the next 6 months, I will have finished it with the vision I have for this place. So, there's nothing so much about this, but what is much in that matter is what? Is the value system. You get it? I can do anything for it. I can do anything. What I'm trying to make us brethren, what I'm calling our attention to, that we should be careful about this matter of being holy, for the Lord is holy, is that brethren, let us be careful about being false. You know, that is what the Bible talks about. Who the Bible refers to in that place? Who the Bible refers to? You know, and we'll still come back to look at Bible characters. We'll still take them one by one. I will not be the only person to take that. Some of our brethren will be taking that. Bible characters. What they exemplify in their life. Brethren will be coming to take different characters of the Bible, in respect of how they live their life and what we should guide against, because their lives are written as an example for us. Please, is anything wrong with being hungry and taking food to eat? Is anything wrong with that? Is anything wrong with I'm hungry and need to eat? Is anything wrong with that? Will you say a man is not spiritual because he's hungry and he wanted to eat? Will you say it's not spiritual? No. Will you say a man is not spiritual because he's hungry and say, please, can I get eat? If I don't have food at home. Please, can I have food? I'm rushing now, I want to eat. Is there anything wrong with that? This, that. But what was wrong with Esau? What is wrong with Esau? Not the morsel of bread. What was wrong with Esau? Was a mindset that food was better than birthright. What I'm trying to make you see, brethren, about the matter of holiness is your sins. What is your thinking pattern? What is your thinking pattern? What is your thinking pattern? What is your value system? How do you value things? The Laodicean church, what made them blind and they did not know? What made them wretched and they did not know? Was what? The blessing of what? So much value in material riches as against instruction of the Lord. So much, you see, that is where the matter is. The Laodicean church, where we are today, that is where the church is today. We are in a situation today that people are self-deceived, and unfortunately they are not knowing it. That was the state of that church. And that self-deception has to do with profanity. He said none of us should be profane. None of us should be a person like Esau. None of us should be a profane person like Esau. We for a morsel of bread threw away his better. So the problem was not the morsel. The problem was that he threw birthright away. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's what I'm trying to say. That's why some people, the problem is not you are being carnal. You are talking about marriage. You are being carnal. You are talking about you want to make some more money. You are being carnal. You are talking about business. That is not your carnality. I mean, whether my point is clear. Where carnality is, where the matter we are addressing, is that look, inability to reconcile that something has been prepared for us. We don't belong to this place. We have something. Look, angels are helping us. Angels are helping us because we are saved people. I don't understand what I mean. Look, there is something about us. If we don't have money here, if we don't have riches here, if we don't have one of these things, we are not hopeless people. We are not people that are hopeless. We are people full of hope. Because what the Lord actually said about us, He said, give us this day our daily bread. The Lord never assured that we accumulate riches. He never assured that. And that is why I tell myself over and over and over and over and over again. Even though I learned that song, a Yoruba song, many years when I was still in secondary school. You know, he says Ayolbala Layome. I don't know whether you have heard that song too. I learned that song in primary school. Ayolbala Layome. That is, the joy of salvation is my joy. Jesu Christi Layome. Owo ti mo ni o le fun mi layo. Ile ti mo ko o le fun mi layo. Omo ti mo bi ki se lori ayo laye. Jesu Christi layo mi. Ayo igbala o. I see, I love that song when I was in my primary or secondary school. That the money I have cannot give me joy. The house I built cannot give me joy. My children, even though I was sitting in bed, I've not come to this height then. I was up in primary school and secondary school. But you know, as I grew up and we began to attain certain things in life, I keep remembering that once the source of a man's joy is in this thing, that man is dead. Brethren, I want to show you something that you will see that walking with God, brings a man to a state of non-attachment, to earthly wealth, even when he has them in abundance. Look at the walk between Job and God. He was the richest in the land. Am I correct? Richest in the land. A rich man. There was not like him in the land of the east. But do you notice? When all those things were separated from him, he was still standing. Do you notice that the wife was not in that same standing with him? The wife said all was gone because those things were gone. And he told her, why do you speak like one of these foolish women? It means if you think all is gone because those things are gone, you are foolish. Now, I'm addressing the matter of the Laodicean church in terms of being holy. And I'm addressing holiness. What am I doing? Is that brethren, what is your heart about life today? The first matter God is addressing with us in this year is the issue of your mindset, your value system. Where are you laying your treasure? What do you count as little? Do you understand that your salvation, do you understand that your redemption, do you understand that you are not redeemed with silver and with gold? What was used to purchase your salvation is not dollars and pounds. So dollars and pounds cannot make you lose salvation. I'm not talking about Naira, because Naira is virtually dead. Everyone's talking about dollars and pounds now. I wanted to make a payment the other time. In fact, I don't use my Naira card. Normally, I use my Naira card to do all international payments. And then, by the time I will make consultation, I'll say I have to go and get a dollar card. Normally, when you use the Naira card to make international payment, there is a conversion that is official for you. So, for example, if you have to pay $99 with your Naira card, you will be paying about 1,000 Naira. Because the rate will not be the black market rate. But if you use the dollar card, you have to go and get about 73,000 Naira. If you are at the current market, because to fund the dollar account, you can only get it from the black market. So you by the time you put the dollar there, you'll be taking at 73 Naira. Are you getting the point I'm making? So they have to stop Nigerians from using Naira card to do international payment. Are you understanding me at all? So recently I wanted to pay for the newsletter for the ministry. I couldn't pay it. I had to make Emmanuel pay from the US. And they will now send the equivalent of black market rate in Naira. What am I trying to bring up? Why am I saying this? Why did that? I'm saying that Naira is losing its value. People are talking about dollars. People are talking about pounds. And that is why getting out. Somebody said, look, the goal now is just to have either your son or your daughter, your wife or your husband. Once all of this, you'll be there bringing in the dollars. Once you have done that, that is all you need now. You know, there's nothing wrong about making plans. Please understand me. What we are that's why I keep explaining things very clear. I'm talking about priorities. I'm talking about value system. I'm talking about let us be clear. Let us be sure that we don't become profane in our thinking. I don't think it's even making. It's not about not making plans, but about not becoming profane in our thinking. What the Bible is trying to make us see in 1 Peter and Revelation is that, look, let us be careful. Where we are and what we are, that the end of our salvation is far, 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 far above anything material. Such that if only all that God is doing for you is to meet your daily need. Paul said in 1 Timothy, he said, having food and raiment, let us be what? Let us be content. For those that desire to be rich, there's nothing wrong in being rich. But there's a problem, when becoming rich become a primary value, become a primary pursuit. He said they fall into what? Diversification. But do you know what I discovered? I was telling some young men, I go like Victor and some of those I was speaking to. I said that the Bible said something. The Bible said the blessings of the Lord make it rich. The blessings of the Lord make it rich. I said, instead of seeking to be rich, why not seek to be blessed? Because if you are blessed, blessing will make you rich. But you may be rich and not be blessed. Is my point very clear? The Bible is saying, what redeemed us? What brought us to this point that we are? Let us be mindful of who we are, the value upon our life, the place that we are going to. Let us be so conscious of them that we don't live as men that does not have hope. There are ways men who don't have hope, who all their hope is in this life. There is a way they live. I don't know that I've mentioned it here before. I went somewhere around Oshile in Akure. I walked down there and I saw one big mansion. I mean, a very, if you see, I don't know what is so similar around this place. I mean, about 4 plots of land brought together with massive buildings all inside. But it now looks as if nobody is there or something. So the person and we were working together, he said, that was my tailor. We're just talking. The person, you know, he lives around that place. I went to call him for one of the jobs that we needed to do. So he just said that. I said, look at this beautiful. I said, but it looks as if nobody is here. He said, daddy, long story. I said, what happened? I said, let me try to translate it in English so that all of us can put it together. He said, the owner of the something is dead. I said, I said, okay. He said, he's just about 40 years old. I said, I don't know what is his story. Boy, went to do some charm and juju, and whenever they discovered it, every month later, he was told that if he must be that rich, then he will not go above 40. And then he answered that, look, what is this? All I want, just give me the riches. Even if for 2 hours, let me enjoy it. But let me just have it. And so he was made to be that rich within a short time. But he cannot go beyond 40. So my question now is that everything that is there, what happens to it? When a young man desires it so much that he just wants the riches, even if just for a while, let me do the rich, let me do that. I was a rich man. So he died just as he was about 40. According to the stipulation of the requirement or the condition for becoming rich. I don't know what I want to bring out. Don't let us become profane. Let us become profane in our thinking. That is why you notice, the Lord is telling this church that men who think the way you think, they are miserable. They are blind. They are wretched. Men who cannot see beyond the things of this life. Men who only in this world is their hope. I think Paul made a statement close to that. Say this world we have hope. Then of all men, is coming again another way from the word of Paul. Of all men, we are most miserable. If we in this world, that is where the hope is. Then of all men, we are most miserable. And that is what they are telling the Laodicean church. And it's about a mindset. It's about a thinking today. You see how people, and Richard said that, look, whatever happens to the family, let it happen to the family. Let me first make the money first. Whatever happened to the family, let it happen to the family. Let me make the money first. Now, these are things, and it is on that, look at how, please, I'm going back to that picture. Let's go back to that picture. Picture, as we try to close for today's meeting. Let's get back to that picture. Let's get back to Peter. First Peter chapter 1. You know. So, What is the warning? What is the warning from Apostle Peter? He says, therefore, brethren, what are we to do? Therefore, let's try all the translation now as we close this meeting. Therefore, guide upward the loins of your what? Of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you as a revelation of Jesus. Please, can we try some other translation? Can we have some other translation of that 1 Peter 1:13? 1 Peter 1:13?
Amplified.
Huh? Amplified, okay. So, because of all of these things that we have been discussing, raise up your mind.
Be sober.
What is the other word for circumspect? What is the other word for circumspect?
Morally alert.
Morally alert. Circumspect. Morally alert.
Set your hope fully and
unshakable. Now, please. When he says fully, what does that mean? Set your hope completely. Set your hope completely, wholly. Please amplify it.
And unchangeably.
On the grace.
The divine favor. That is coming to you. When Jesus Christ the Messiah is
with you. Please, brethren, what is something else to do in this place? Please, where should we rest all our hope? All the hope. Is it part of the hope? Is it part of the hope? Or most of the hope? He said, wholly. Completely. Then she used another word again. After that, completely. There's something like changing or something. Have you seen it? Don't be given to change. Don't allow anything to change your mind. Unchangeably. A lot of things are here to make us change. A lot of these are presenting themselves today. They are presenting themselves the way Satan was presenting that food to Eve. A food that God has said, don't eat. The day you eat, you will die. It was said and it presented and presented. And then she said, what happened? She changed. I said, this thing looks like what will make one wise. And is good for food. What have always been a symbol of death to her became a symbol of what is good for food and to make one wise. He said, look unchangeably. There are a lot of attractions today, but brethren, there are distractions. There are a lot of things that are looking like appointments today, but brethren, they will become disappointments. There are a lot of people that are looking like, wow, it is making it, but you are not making it, you are losing it. You see, let us rest fully. Please, you know one problem? Once you don't make it fully and unchangeably on that rope, if you allow any that small little thing, somebody made a statement, it's already 6:30. I want to stop this. Somebody make, we'll take it from that bus when we come again next Monday. Somebody made a statement. He said, the strength of a shame is defined by its weakest point. The strength of a shame. Something that you join. Is defined by the weakest point. Because I tell you, begin to pull that shame. It is where it is weakest. That is where it will cut. So, you don't define the strength of the shame by the strongest point. Are you understanding that? Are you understanding what we're trying to say? You define it by what? By the weakest point. What are we trying to say, brethren? From what you have just said. Eh? Be careful. It is those small, small areas that you leave. That is the point. It is those small, small areas that you don't tie. Eh? Be careful about the little forces. The little, little forces that will spoil the vine. Be on your guard about the little forces. The strength of your life is defined by the weakest point. The weakest point. Let us put all our hope only. Let us tell ourselves again. Eh? Let us redefine. Or else, verse 15 will not become a reality. We will not be holy the way the Lord is holy. In our conduct, there will be unholiness. There will be ungodliness. There will be profanity. In our conduct, because I mentioned that holiness is about conduct. Holiness is about conduct. In the way you conduct your life, if you are not careful in your conduct, after all the prayer, all the thing, all the church membership, everything, all the simply evangelism, in your conduct, in some secret areas of your life, in some areas, there, a little lie, a little this, a little compromise, a little, and the strength of your life is defined by the weakest point. They are the areas where the enemy will set in. The Bible says, a little long, a little living. That's what? Living the whole long. Let us pray. Let us be careful. Just a little living. Just a little living. It's just small yeast. It's just a small poison that spoils the whole food. Just a little poison that spoils the whole food. The whole food may be very, very good. It's that little poison. Let us be sure that there is no area. You see, wholly, unchangeably. I like that amplifier reading. Everything completely refuse, make everything completely rest your hope on what is to come. Don't put any hope in any other thing. Don't put it on your job. Don't put it on your security. Don't put it on evil men. I was telling somebody, if today people who are guided by policemen and soldiers are being killed. What are you putting your security in? Look, don't put your hope. Is it the slightest point? Put everything wholly on that hope that is to be redeemed. Don't put anything anywhere. That place, that thing you put in that place will be the weakest point where your life will break. Put everything totally on what is to be revealed. Let everything be on what is to be revealed. As we make plans, as we move through this life, as we journey through, let us be careful that in our hearts, we are sober. Making sure that no. Look, what I'm really waiting for in this life is the appearance of Jesus. Nothing can be compromised for that. No matter how little, I can't compromise anything. Jesus will soon be revealed. Jesus will soon appear. I cannot see myself not going with him. I cannot see myself not being with him. I cannot see myself being set aside. I cannot see myself being disqualified. I cannot see myself not. God, please come and close the meeting for us.
Our Father, our God, wants to say thank you for your word today. Indeed, your word set free. Thank you for this word that has come to us peaceably to set us free from every bondage of sin, from every bondage of self-centered, from every bondage of the desire of the things of this world. Father, we appreciate you, Lord. Father, we look up unto you. Lord, as this word has come to us, let this word stay with us. in the name of Jesus Christ, to shed light on our paths, to lead us as we journey into this life, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for grace, so that our faith will be focused on you, our life will be focused on you, not unto the things of this world, but on you, according to your word that said in Psalm, that they look up unto you, and we are no longer ashamed. That as we look up unto you, that we will no longer be ashamed. In the name of Jesus Christ. Grace we ask for, Lord, that we grow in this grace of holiness, of righteousness, all the days of our life. And that when the trumpet will sound, we will be part of those that will be rejoicing that at last we made it. Thank you, precious Daddy. Daddy, we pray for your son, that you continue to help him to grow in grace, to grow in strength, to grow in faith, to grow in revelation, to grow in depth, and to grow in mystery, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, precious Daddy. As we go this week, Lord, you will go with us. We will return next week with testimony, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, precious Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Amen.
Let's together share the grace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.
This message is coming to you from Family Tent Ministry, a Christian ministry involved in enriching the lives of singles and marriage through preaching and teaching of God's word, discipleship, family life enrichment, social and community development, and mission aid. Our regular activities are discipleship class every Monday, 5 p.m., Adolescent and Singles Club, every first Saturday of every month at 10 a.m. Marriage Forum, second Saturday of every month at 10 a.m. Family Life Seminars, regular school outreaches, and everyday counseling. For further counseling, you can reach us at our location, Life Camp by the First Bridge, Ilere Community, opposite the Rejoice Filling Station along Ijare Road, Akure, Ondo State, Nigeria. You can also reach us through our social media handles, familytent@yahoo.co.uk, familytentministry01@gmail.com, www.familytentministry.org. Our phone numbers are 0033861 3848. God bless you all.